Yesterday, before the sun rose and the harvest supermoon hung low in the sky, I swam across Walden Pond. This was a new, disorienting experience. Measuring my progress against the silhouettes of distant trees was futile. But my two companions and I had placed tiny lights inside the buoys secured around our waists. Their bobbing glow and the rhythmic pull and breath of my steady stroke gave me the reassurance and the freedom to keep moving through the inky darkness. Today's Monitor stories, spanning from security in Portland, Oregon, to negotiations in the West Bank, to a soup kitchen for seniors in Seoul, South Korea, also strive to illuminate paths forward. It's Wednesday, October 8th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kendra Nordine Beato. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The European Union proposed cutting its tariff-free quota on steel and steel products by almost half. That would effectively add large tariffs on imports from countries including China, India, Turkey, and the United Kingdom, which said the measures would wreck the British steel industry. After reaching a new quota, additional imports will face a 50% tariff. That's double the current 25% rate, a high price akin to U.S. President Donald Trump's steel measures. Three scientists at American universities won the Nobel Prize in Physics. They took the seeming contradictions of the subatomic world and applied them in the more traditional physics of digital devices. The results of their findings are just starting to appear in advanced technology and could pave the way for the development of supercharged computing. Also, solar energy worldwide grew at a record pace during the first half of 2025, with renewables overtaking coal for the first time, according to a new report by Ember, a clean energy think tank. Solar, along with some wind power, more than met the rise in global electricity demand. While the United States has expanded fossil fuel production, China did the opposite and led the world in new solar energy generation. Now, today's Monitor Stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. An Immigration and Customs Enforcement office in Portland, Oregon, is an epicenter of protests and the legal battle over President Donald Trump's deployment of the National Guard. At the building, the Monitor finds both law enforcement and protesters grappling with security issues and free speech rights. Sarah Matusik reports from Portland, Oregon, for The Monitor. In Gaza, which experienced tremendous loss from the war, and in the West Bank, facing settler violence and military restrictions, distrust of Israel and the U.S. runs deep. Even if the Trump plan is approved, many Palestinians say it will not bring peace. Ghada Abdel Fattah and Taylor Luck report from Deir el-Balah, Gaza Strip, and Ramallah, West Bank for The Monitor. Negotiating the thorny obstacles to President Donald Trump's peace plan for Gaza could take time. But with so much riding on ending the war, not least a chance to succeed where others have failed and perhaps earn a Nobel, he's likely to show patience. Howard LaFranchi reports from Washington for The Monitor. In its new term, the Supreme Court will hear several cases on LGBTQ+ rights, including on transgender athletes and conversion therapy for minors. At stake are questions about free speech, fairness, and how the Constitution addresses modern questions the founders did not anticipate. Stephen Humphreys, Sophie Hills, and Cameron Pugh report for The Monitor. Many destitute older adults in South Korea are also lonely. One Seoul soup kitchen has been a reliable source of food, warmth, and company for more than three decades. Ann Scott Tyson reports from Seoul, South Korea, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on outreach that dissolves distrust. Words Create Worlds, Holocaust survivor and civil rights activist Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel often said. According to his daughter, it was a reminder that worldviews and related actions are formed by and flow from speech. Inspiring texts, such as the United States Declaration of Independence or the sermons of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., would validate this axiom. But in today's political rhetoric, words increasingly tend toward corrosive and dispiriting. I hate my opponent, and I don't want the best for them, President Donald Trump said in September. And just last Friday, it was revealed that Jay Jones, a Democratic candidate for the post of Virginia Attorney General, had sent text messages fantasizing about killing a political foe. However, others in U.S. politics are seeking to shape and model civil discourse and compromise. In an article published the day after the news about Mr. Jones broke, the Wall Street Journal described how state lawmakers are participating in everyday kindnesses and enjoyments together, whether it's volunteering or exercising or putting on potlucks and karaoke events. We don't demonize one another when we've shared a meal, one Minnesota legislator observed. We're starting a movement, said another from Kansas, adding, I'm learning about where members of the other party are coming from. Respectful and trust-based interaction is not just an end in itself. It's essential to effective policy creation and consensus making. Partisan loyalties can fuel unwillingness to talk across party lines. And partisan animosity, in turn, can encourage voters to tolerate unethical moves by party leaders, Stanford University researchers have found. That is why, as Sean Westwood, director of the Polarization Research Lab and a Dartmouth College professor, puts it, from the top down, we must address the behavior of political elites. And from the bottom up, we need a citizenry with the civic skills to engage constructively across differences. Dr. Westwood co-wrote a recent study that found that genuine dialogue among individuals is most effective in reducing polarization. Future Caucus is one organization that supports younger legislators with skills in leadership and negotiation to bridge differences. It has more than doubled its membership of lawmakers since 2022 and has trained more than 1,900. For Utah Governor Spencer Cox, a Republican who launched the Disagree Better, Healthy Conflict for Better policy initiative in 2023, moving away from polarizing rhetoric requires reaching out with respect. Getting outside your own bubble is so important, he said in a talk at Harvard University that year. Echoing Dr. Westwood's findings, he noted, finding opportunities to have face-to-face contacts with people who are different from us is powerful and important. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how changing homes, by choice or of necessity, can be supported by the understanding that we are never separated from God. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.